Welcome, Anya, to RegTech Impact. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, Erkan, and also hello to the listeners. I'm Anya. I'm a lawyer, and for the last 20 plus years, I have been working in public procurement. I'd say in a wide range of functions, starting as an attorney, then as a lobbyist, later as managing director of a subsidiary of the Chambers of Commerce, with a focus on bringing together public buyers and SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprises. In 2018 and 2019, I was working for the Ministry of Defense, helping there to build up the German Armed Forces' first innovation unit, the Bundeswehr Cyber Innovation Hub. And as the unit's CFO, I was, amongst other tasks, in charge of procurement. So one of the hub's focus activities used to be a permanent scanning of the worldwide startup ecosystem and the procurement of digital technologies from startups. Those digital products were then tested together with users in the armed forces, generally soldiers. In the end of 2019, that is after having completed the setup of the hub, I left the hub, took some months off, and then founded together with the hub's former CEO, Innovation at Scale. That is a company that's helping, on the one hand, big organizations to build up innovation units, and on the other hand, startups to grow and scale successfully. Also last year, together with some guys from the public sector I got to know during my time at the hub, I founded Startup. That's an association which aims at driving the digital transformation of the public sector. So more cooperation between the state and startups is one of its goals. So that's it, what I'm doing for the moment.
That's really great. But maybe how would you explain your job to your grandma or grandpa?
Oh, that's a bit for a grandma. It gets a bit confusing, I assume, because it's modern times. And how would you explain that you're helping to build big organizations, an innovation unit? It's helping someone to build up structures that allow them to be more innovative, to tear down old processes that are too complex for the modern world. So I assume the job actually is a little bit too complicated for the grandma.
But I understand that. Thank you for your explanation. Today we are going to talk about the risk in procurement and also about RegTech. And may I ask you, when did you first hear the word RegTech?
Yeah, that's a good question. To be honest, very honest, I think that I first heard it when I got to know you and your podcast series some months ago. What I have been knowing for a longer time, some 2 or so years, I'd say, is the word GovTech, which is, in my understanding, at least partly, not totally, but partly overlapping with the RegTech. So even back in 2018 and 2019, when working for the Cyber Innovation Hub, if I think hard about it, neither notion played a role. I think that has to do with the fact that at that time, we scouted and purchased technologies for all sorts of use cases, such as logistics, training, health, warfare, as a matter of fact, but not necessarily for solutions in a regulatory context, even though certainly already at that time, those solutions entered the stage. And I knew the solutions, but not the notion.
Yeah. But if you try, how would you define RegTech? The definition from your side?
I'd say the notion describes an ecosystem. I'm seeing it from the angle of the ecosystem or startup ecosystem, providing modern digital solutions that meet regulatory requirements in an efficient way. both for public and private organizations. And when I think about it, when I compare it to GovTech, for example, I'd say GovTech describes digital products and services which are designed especially for an application in the public sector. That's the difference, or at least with a focus on the public buyer market. So from the beginning on at GovTech Solutions, public sector requirements are taken into account when designing those products and services. So in the end, both of them, I'd say, it's all about simplifying and improving governmental and administrative processes and services. But RegTech, in my understanding, can also be used in private organizations to meet regulatory requirements.
Absolutely. But how do you think can RegTech help also in the public sector procurement? I mean,
absolutely. It can help throughout the whole purchasing process, plus in the stage of contract management, which comes after the buying process. Only a few years earlier, many contracting authorities still worked with the paper documents and physical files, which is, I'd say, for both authority and bidders, extremely inefficient. Nowadays means even before the RegTech notion came up, there are digital tools which facilitate market research, for example, especially in the startup sector. That's quite new. Once that guide procures through the whole tender procedure, that's a little bit older and has to do with the fact that e-procurement came up or was pushed by the EU, the European Union. And then to help them to avoid errors, that's the important thing. And once for contract management. So there's quite a wide range of solutions. So, and I'm more than sure that we will see a steep rise in numbers of new intelligent solutions from the startup ecosystem over the next 2 or 3 years. Process automation, also KI-based, is after all one of the hot subjects at the moment. So that will have an impact on the public procurement scene as well. I'm very sure about that.
That's really interesting. But for me, just to understand, how does the sale work in the public authority? I mean, can you explain a little bit? Because I'm an outsider.
Yeah. So, if you see it from a company, that is to say, a seller's perspective, it's a big challenge. Many contracting authorities avoid talking to potential bidders in advance of formal tender procedures, just because they are afraid of being blamed for discrimination or market distortion. Even though the legal framework allows all sorts of market research measures. Nevertheless, for companies with new solutions, and I'd say above all disruptive ones, it is nothing less than a necessity to make sure that public buyers are aware of the existence of these new solutions. Because only then public buyers can set up their service descriptions for the next tender procedure in a way that new solutions can successfully be offered. Otherwise, that won't be possible because the new solutions won't ever meet the requirements of those old-fashioned service descriptions.
That means you need to be recognized by the public authority as a startup.
No, that's not exactly the point, but the service description with which the public buyers carries out the tender procedure has to be open enough to embrace new solutions. And if there is no knowledge of those new solutions, there is no possibility of a fit of the new solution and the service description. And because tender procedures are a very formal thing, then the startup, for example, won't have any chance to get awarded. That's the point.
It's very interesting. But you talked about formal process. And if I'm a RegTech company, which legal regulations do I generally have to take into account as a RegTech in the procurement process?
It's a whole bunch of them, I'm afraid.
you can make a list of top three or top five.
I can make a list, and I can give reassuring conclusion, actually. To begin with, there are the rules for EU procurement procedures, originating in several EU directives that are applicable for purchases over certain value thresholds, so round about 200,000 euros. Below those thresholds, there is another set of rules for national procedures. But after the latest legal reform in Germany, the regulations above and below the thresholds don't differ that much anymore, though. Plus, every Bundesland has its own additional set of rules, mostly aimed at promoting social and environmental sustainability and gender equality. Actually, it's not that much to do with the procurement anymore, but it's rather political goals. So the good thing, now the reassuring thing, from a bidder's perspective, is that it's not the bidder, but the contracting authority's job to know all these regulations and put them into practice, which means that it's them, so the public authority, to tell the bidders in the tender procedure exactly what to do and what to omit, so which declarations to make, etc. The bidder's job then is it only, in brackets, to strictly stick to these instructions. Otherwise, he will be excluded from the tender. But it's not the bidder's job to read all the different regulations differing from EU level to national level to Bundesland level. That's the good thing.
I understand. But what do you think are the three major upcoming risks in public procurement?
Oh, that's a good question. I'll try to answer it as follows. I'd say first, the tender procedures, especially how they're lived in public authorities in Germany, are extremely slow and too complex for startups, or SMEs altogether, but especially startups. So as a result, startups won't take part in those procedures, at least not in high numbers, which in return results in the fact that the public sector won't benefit from the technological developments in the startup ecosystem. However, nowadays, major technological developments come from this ecosystem. The result will be, according to me, a big gap between what is there in the outside world, so which technologies are available on the one hand, and on the other hand, what is available for the public sector. It will be a gap. It's already today, it is a gap, but it will become bigger. Second thing, with the rise of the number of applicable regulations, it's still rising, up and rising. public procurement is becoming more and more legal. It's no buyer's scene anymore. It's rather a legal scene. But on the other hand, there are only very, very few lawyers employed in the procurement departments of public authorities, even in the big ones. So as a result, people working there don't feel at home enough with the legal framework for a confident handling of it. When setting up their tender procedures, they tend to choose the safe solution, which only very rarely is the one to drive innovative purchases. So also at this point, the innovation aspect isn't the one that... that gets awarded. So we will be dealing with old school solutions. So third point, I'm not exactly sure about that one, but within the next 10 years, a significant part of public sector employees, at least in Germany, will retire. For the public sector, it will be a big challenge to recruit enough young talent anyway. And my guess is that, especially in the field of public procurement, the problems to find staff will be tremendous, actually. It's not really a work area people are crazy about, you know. So a lot will have to be done to create inspiring working conditions, and not only in aspects of money. For example, procurement strategies that are more or less non-existing today, strategies that serve as guidelines for the staff and so strengthen their decision-making skills and all that should belong to it. So a lot of work will have to be done, and that much from my side as an oracle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, I try to forget all the risk in the public government, and I'm trying to be a RegTech or GovTech company. Mm-hmm. Should I contact a public authority directly, or who is my contact person? I mean, can you help me out by finding the right person? I mean,
yes, I should do that. I should contact the public authority directly. Absolutely, at least in writing. Huh? as I already stated earlier, otherwise. So if the public authority doesn't know anything of my existence or of the existence of my solution, a supply or service will be tendered over and over again in the same way it had been tendered during the last decades. And a new solution just will not meet the requirements of the service description in a procurement procedure. But in fact, for companies, it's not at all easy to find out whom exactly to contact in order to hand over their information brochures or charts. So an email to an info@account won't do normally. Therefore, research has to be done in order to identify the person who is, and now we are at the point, who is technically in charge of the public task the seller's product is promising to have a solution for. So it's not the guy in the procurement department, but it's the guy in the technical department. But even now we are a little bit now it gets a little bit harder. Even if the company finds its contact person and this contact person likes the product, generally the product can't be just purchased in a direct act. Rather, a tender procedure according to public procurement regulations has to be carried out. But in the framework of this tender procedure, the service description then will be open enough to enable the startup, for example, to successfully bid. Which wouldn't be the case if the public authority didn't know the solution. So yes, do it. Yes, go there, find the person that is technically in charge, but live with the fact that afterwards you will have to take part in a normal public procurement procedure.
Interesting. But what I'm thinking about how can RegTech participate or where I can find the tenders? And secondly, what should I look for? I mean, where I can find all the tenders?
Mm-hmm. So first of all, RegTech suppliers can participate in a tender just like any other company. The important aspects are whether the RegTech solution fits into the service description. I'm always coming back to the service description, which is a very important thing in the tender procedure. And if the requirements for the eligibility of bidders are met. Both aspects often cause problems as public authorities tend to set up high barriers for the eligibility. For example, a high number of turnaround or something like that. And as I said before, use the same service description over and over again. However, companies have the possibility to ask questions to the contracting authority during the course of the tender procedure and should make use of it. So this possibility can be used to try to persuade the authority throughout an already running tender procedure to change or open up the requirements. So as to the question, what companies should look for when browsing publication platforms, I'd say, in my experience, keywords such as RegTech or GovTech won't lead to hits. Rather, should I look for notions that describe a service as such? For example, legal services or lawyer, when I'm a provider of legal tech services that work on the basis of algorithms rather than with personal legal advice. So the platforms companies should browse are, first of all, Tenders Electronic Daily, or TED, which is the official EU publication platform for all tenders above the value thresholds, and service.bund.de, or DE, where you can find all tenders of German federal authorities, also below the thresholds, plus a big number of tenders from the Bundesländer and the municipalities. So it's quite comprehensive. But Germany wouldn't be the federal state it is if not the Bundesländer. In addition, each had their own official publication platform. But there is an overview companies can find on, now it's a little bit more difficult, the word, it's Auftragsberatungsstellen.de. So that's I could spell it now, but maybe we can give it to the listeners also in writing afterward. Yes. So it's complex in Germany because of the federal situation. It's complex, but with TED plus service.bund.de, the majority of the tenders will be available.
Yeah, interesting. But you talked about asking questions. Mm. Can I ask, for example, a question to change the description, for example? Because I think many RegTechs are not in the turnover about 100 million or even more money. Is this possible to change that, or is that fixed?
Yeah, it is possible. So it is possible for the public authority actually to change next to everything during the course of the procedure. It only has to be transparent. The information has to be given to all the potential bidders. And it doesn't have to lead to a distortion of competition, but then everything is fine. So it happens very often, actually. So if you ask the question, can I, instead of giving you the turnaround of the last 3 years, because there is none, can I give you something else to show that I'm financially on good grounds, for example? Yeah, it's mm-hmm. absolutely possible.
That's really interesting. That I never know. That is really mm-hmm. for everybody at the podcast. That is something that RegTech or startup should use. Asking
absolutely
and in mm-hmm. getting absolutely. Communication with them. That is really important. But what I'm thinking about also is, what do you think the public sector do better in public procurement tasks than 5 years ago? Is there something positive?
Mm. even in this sector, some things get better over the time. I'd say that e-procurement as such has made a big step forward. Also because of the new EU regulations that drive e-procurement. Nowadays tenders can be found more easily and nobody has to send paper documents to and fro anymore. That's a good thing. Plus, there is a certain trend towards central procurement bodies, which at best, I'd say, drives the professionalization of the area. And the area is in need of more professionalism. So that's a good mm-hmm. thing.
And the e-procurement means everything is digital. Can I say that?
Yes, correct.
That's interesting. But to be able to transform the public procurement function into the digital age, all parties of the global ecosystem, I mean public and private, should work together. Who globally can is are taking the lead in this? Is there anybody?
Oh, as a matter of fact, up till today, public procurement is still a very national thing, with some rare exceptions, such as United Nations procurement or tenders of the EU institutions, for example. So even with all the pushing of the EU Commission and all the EU regulations, the rate of cross-border procurements of public authorities in the EU still moves in the low single-digit range. Mm-hmm. Therefore, a global approach is really a big challenge. So if you are really looking for one, nevertheless, in the end, I'd say it can or should be the EU to lead by example and start a digital transformation within its own ranks. And then I'd say the private supplier sector will follow without further help or pushing by anybody if it finds suitable tenders for their solutions on the public publication platforms.
Absolutely. I mean, what I get is talking with the public authority directly and ask questions. And what's, I think, very important from your perspective is they can change that the description what they are needed. And that is, I think, very important. And I would say, if you're thinking about the procurement, is there something what we should talk about also here? Did I forget something?
Oh, it's a wide, wide range. It's a wide, wide range. But I think from the bidders or the company's perspective, that's the important points. Make sure that your new solution is known with the public buyer side. Make sure you make use of the possibilities you have during running tender procedures, and make sure that public authorities, how can I put it? Yeah, trust you. They need trust. And then you have a real chance. I also think that the Corona crisis has been a big driver for not only technical or digital solutions, but also for the acceptance of solutions from the startup system. So now is a good time to make the first step into the public buyer's market.
Yeah, very interesting. But finally, the last question, Anya. What would you do if you were not working in your industry?
it's been a long time since I last thought about that. When I studied law, I wanted to become a judge or a diplomat, like many young law students, by the way. So maybe one of those professions. I'm afraid I'm not that inspiring in this respect. No ski or surfing instructor ambitions or anything of the like. So maybe just that. Maybe a diplomat. I don't know, loitering in a nice tropical country or something like that.
That's really, really interesting. Anya, it was a pleasure talking with you. I would say thank you and bye-bye.
My pleasure, and also bye-bye, Erkan.